From Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. The inspired word of God for the people of God.
I hope that by now you've picked up there is a little bit of a theme going on today with the sermon deeply rooted, and that is part of what we are about as a church, being deeply rooted, branching out, and bearing fruit. And over the next few weeks, we're going to be exploring what God is calling us to do in the midst of those calls. You see our tree and our roots. I'm tripping over the roots. Very natural to do, right? If a tree's roots get exposed, we do trip over them. And keep that as your visual as we talk today. I don't know if you know it or not. Hopefully you do. We learned it in elementary school that prairie grass covered probably almost 70% of the state of Iowa before we started farming it, before we started building cities, before we started making roads. And so if you're familiar at all with prairie grass, one of the things that makes it so good and has made our black dirt so black soil so good is that some prairie flowers and prairie grasses have a root system that's actually deeper than the height of the plants above ground. You'll see in this visual the ground being the horizontal line and the flowers above it, and you can't read all of those, but up close you can. But you'll notice that in many cases, especially way to the left and way to the right, a short little plant and a very deep root system on those prairie grasses. The deep root system actually filters the water runoff and reduces pollution that goes into the rivers and streams. That's one of the beauties of the prairie grass that they're trying to replant different places in Iowa. Without these prairie plants, there would be more erosion of our soil and less habitat for animals and plants and insects. To truly understand the root system of these plants, who are the gardeners? Raise your hand if you like to garden flowers, vegetables, whatever. Okay, got a few gardeners. And who has ever planted purple coneflowers in their garden? Who has ever tried to get rid of them? Right? Very difficult, because that's one of the root systems that's pretty well deep in there, not as much as the other ones. But we actually have some purple coneflower in our landscaping around the church. It's been cut back because it was done for the season, thanks to those who cut it back, by the way. And so if you try to dig up those plants, you think you got it all, right? And then next spring or later in the season, there they come again, right? We think we dig as deep as we can, and we discover that those roots are actually really deep, and they show up in places in the garden where they were nowhere near the plants where we had put them. They run deep, and they do that because that's what assures their survival. Prairie flowers actually survive a long time because they have this deep root system and can come up here and there. Well, based on our visual here, hopefully you've realized that Christ calls us into a relationship that is intimate and deeply rooted in the teachings and the love and that which is Jesus Christ. This is an intimacy that Christ desires for us in our lives. I invite you to take a few minutes to think about the people that you know. And we all know many people from many different walks of life, different things that we do, places that we go. Some we can call by name. Some we only know by sight, and when we're in that location, we can place them when they're in that place where we know them. And some of these people we only encounter when we're in those specific settings. We kind of come in contact with people in our community through athletic events and music events, festivals, going to the grocery store, going to the gas station. And then we have our neighbors, those people that live near us that we see when we're walking the dog or out in the yard with our children. Some of them we know really well. We stop and talk, have a conversation, and some people we just wave, and some people we don't even know their names because folks keep to themselves. We would probably consider these people acquaintances or maybe just kind of surface friends. Our relationship with them is really very limited to the place from where we know them and the mutual activities that we do together because our kids are in sports together or in dance together. Our conversations with these kinds of with these folks stay pretty surface. They stay on the safe side of life, the things that are surface, the things that don't go deep into who we are, the things that are around the common bond we have, the gathering that we're at or the activities that we're in. We know very little about these people, right? Really, we don't know much about them. And then we're shocked when somebody that knows them really well lifts them up in prayer. Or we hear at school that so-and-so has been diagnosed with something. And our concern goes up a little bit, and we think, well, I know them. That's really sad. But we really don't have a relationship, and so we really don't enter much deeper into that with them. And we have very little to offer except for maybe words of encouragement. That's because they're acquaintances or just casual friends. I invite you to name some of those people in your own mind, and hopefully you've been thinking about them as we've been going. There's another group of people in our lives, and these are our good friends. These are the people that we set aside time to do stuff with, do activities with them, the things we like to do, and we communicate with them fairly often through social media, through phone calls, face-to-face. And we know a little bit more about them and what they value and what they love. So think about those friends. I don't know if they're the people that you can count on when something really drastic happens. And that's why we have our intimate friends. Those people that, and I'm not talking about the kind of intimacy between spouses, but the or boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, relationship. I'm talking about the kind of intimacy that goes deeper into who we are. It's the people in our lives that hang out with us, do stuff with us, like us, and they know the good and they know the bad and they even know the ugly. And they're there for us no matter what. And they even call us on some of our bad stuff. These intimate friends are the people that stand by you when you're at your lowest. They're the ones that check in on you when they haven't heard from you for a while. They celebrate with you when things go well, and they're with you kind of in the trenches when the bad things happen. They know your pet peeves. They know your deepest struggles, and they know your deepest longings. For some of you, those are the people that are in your gigs, some of the people that you can count on in your gigs. These are the people that you have let into the very depth of your being. Kind of what's inside, the stuff you don't show anybody else. Think of these people. I'm going to venture to guess that there's a lot less of these intimate friends than there are of good friends, and even way less than our acquaintances. These intimate friends are the ones that Jesus calls us to emulate. And Jesus in our life wants to be our intimate friend. Jesus desires to be at the very core of our being. Even the stuff that we hide from everybody else, Jesus wants to be a part of that, wants to see it, wants to know you in that, and calls us to be in that intimate relationship, deeply rooted in Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, being deeply rooted takes time. These plants with these deep root systems did not happen in one season. It happens season after season, time after time. The really healthy soil, it comes from the places where these roots have been there a very, very long time. To go deep with Jesus means we have to be intentional in the things that we do, intentional in the time we spend in prayer, and intentional about spending time in the scriptures and spending time in study. When we spend time regularly in prayer, and we talked about prayer in confirmation just for a very short time this morning, and it was sort of a deer in the headlights thing. And maybe you're thinking the same thing. Time in prayer, what does that look like? What does that mean? It's time spent talking to our intimate friend, Jesus Christ. And when we lack that depth, when we lack that intimacy with our Lord, we find it difficult to stand firm with the Lord. Today's scripture reading was written by the Apostle Paul while Paul was in prison. It's one of his letters he wrote while in prison. And if you know anything about prison, it's a cakewalk right now in prison, but in the first century prison, it was no place to be. Rats and dysentery and terrible, awful conditions, no flush toilets, things like that. And Paul is in prison in these dire circumstances and talking about his faith and sharing Jesus with the church in Philippi. You see, in prison with Paul was his good friend, Jesus Christ. Paul was confident that Christ was in prison with him, and he had that assurance of that presence that helped him to rejoice while he was in prison. Rejoice while pretty much the worst, almost the worst of the worst was happening to him. With Jesus living in Paul, living deeply inside of Paul, Paul was able to write this letter. Here again, the words from verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Paul wrote this ability, his ability to rejoice, even when all seemed hopeless, was made possible because he had taken time to have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Paul was deeply rooted, as it were, in his relationship with Christ, in his prayer, and in his study. With Jesus living, Paul's letter for us is a model for how we're called to live, how we're called to experience joy. It goes on in verse 6 to say, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So some of us tend to be more anxious than others, and you maybe are that person, or you know someone who is. And I ask you, how easy is it to not be anxious when life is coming at you pretty fast? How easy is it to not be anxious when we're living paycheck to paycheck, right? That's a tough time. We get anxious. How easy is it to not be anxious when a loved one receives, or we receive, a terrible diagnosis about our health? How easy is it to not be anxious when homework is difficult, or when our friends shut us out of our groups? How easy is it to not be anxious when our job is tenuous, we're not sure if we're going to have it very long, or when we lose someone we love? It's not easy. Believe me, I know it's not easy. And yet Christ promises to be with us through the good times and through the bad. We reduce our anxiety when we go deeper with Jesus Christ, when we spend time with Christ, and it results in this beautiful prayer time, this intimate time when we can just converse with our Lord, and then trusting God and letting God have our worries, because being anxious is having worries. Paul says that when we give God our worries, we experience peace. Verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, meaning, I don't know why I have peace. I shouldn't have peace. And yet God gives me peace. And God will guard your hearts and your minds. A peace like that goes beyond all understanding. And it's one that can only come through an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Peace in Christ is that lasting assurance that no matter what our circumstances are, we will experience security that wraps around us and sinks into the very core of our being. Going deeper with Christ helps us experience peace. It doesn't mean we have the absence of conflict. It doesn't mean that we're still not going to be struggling financially or dealing with health issues, but it means that God can handle our worries. That as we pray more and worry less, God will give us a sense of peace. Paul tells us to pray, and he tells us even more. He says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, think on these things. These things impact our relationship with Jesus Christ. The things that we put into our minds, the things that we watch on TV, the things that we read, the things we look at online, all of that impacts our relationship with Jesus Christ. Whatever goes in is what comes out. If there's unwholesome activities and materials in our lives, then it's probably separating us from Christ and preventing us from going deeper in our faith. By ramping up our prayer life, by talking to our friend Jesus more on our own, it will help us to be more holy in our lives. To be deeply rooted in Christ requires some work. Work on all of our parts. We can't just decide that we're going to be good friends with Jesus and not do anything about it. We have to do a little work to help Christ withstand our relationship. In northern Minnesota, anybody been to northern Minnesota? Any Minnesota folks out there? Since we lived in northern Iowa, northern Minnesota was one of the places we like to go for vacation. Near the Canadian border along the shores of Lake Superior, one of the Great Lakes, is a tree. And the Ojibwe Indians call this tree Little Spirit Cedar Tree. And it's a special tree because of its location. You'll see it up on the screen there. Its nickname is Witch Tree. And I use witch, W-I-T-C-H. Witch Tree is its nickname. If we could zoom in closer, which we can, and that's okay, you would see that it's growing out of a rock. There is absolutely no visible soil for that tree. Okay, so which is how it got its name, Witch Tree. The mature tree was first discovered in 1731. It's never been much bigger, and it's never been much smaller. For the last over 300 years, when a French explorer found it, it was a mature tree when they found it. It's 15 feet tall because it sits on the shores of Lake Superior. Anybody been to Lake Superior? Okay. It's in the fall, winter, and spring, it's a very treacherous place for that tree to be. The weather and the wind and the waves and the fury of Lake Superior battle that tree all the time. It's considered sacred by the Ojibwe Indians because there's a lot of legends around it. They believe that there's a spirit living in that tree, and so when they go on the water by the tree, they offer gifts of tobacco and beads to appease the spirit and guarantee safe travels on the lake. This 300-plus year tree wouldn't be possible without an extensive root system. So somewhere in that rock is a root system more advanced than the one you see up here. A root system that allows it to cling to the rock and withstand sort of the gales of November. My friend, God calls each of us, young and old, to be deeply rooted like this tree. To be clinging to the rock, to be have roots down deep in the soil so that we can experience peace in our lives. As followers of Jesus Christ, we're not so much about religion and just showing up in church. God wants more out of us than just showing up to church and being about this religion that is Christianity. Christ wants a personal relationship with each of us. Christ wants each of us to call Jesus friend, that deep, intimate friend. There are plenty of people in this world that claim to be Christian and yet are passive in their faith. In fact, about 70% of the United States claims to be Christian, and yet far less of them actually have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Your motivation and your participation for being in worship should be to seek to know Jesus more and not just show up and let people see you. To be a follower of Jesus Christ is to actively seek ways to know Christ and to go deeper in your faith. I pray that you will invite Christ into your life as you have invited your intimate friends into your life, and go deeper. Choose to go deeper, because Christ loves us, warts and all. Here at First United Methodist, we have opportunities to go deeper. There's some of them written on the back of your bulletin, plenty in the newsletter, and Melinda and I are just a phone call or email away to help you connect with people in this church through a gig or through service. That's one way we can go deeper with Jesus Christ. I invite you to consider how God is calling you to be deeply rooted, how God is calling you to cling to the rock and go deeper in your faith. Amen.